So, you have a James Bond movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do.
And for this one, I was thinking we could do kind of a gritty reboot of the character.
What do you mean?
Well, Christopher Nolan did that with Batman recently, and people went nuts, so I figure we should, you know, do that with everything for a decade.
Well, that does sound like a pretty good plan, but I thought James Bond was already gritty.
Well, in the last movie, we had him kite surf on a tidal wave.
That sounds gritty to me.
It wasn't.
He could have died. Well, I'm just saying it could be interesting to make this one in a way that's not like a wacky cartoon.
Okay, so what did you have in mind?
Well, first of all, I think we need to recast the character.
You don't think Pierce Brosnan is gritty?
I think he looks like if a comfortable turtleneck came to life.
He does look like he gives good hugs.
Right, so I think we definitely need somebody a little more gritty.
Did you have anyone in mind?
To be honest, I'm not super familiar with British actors. The only one that comes to mind is Daniel Radcliffe.
I'm pretty sure he's busy with the Harry Potter films, and also he's a teenage boy.
Right, of course. What about Michael Gambon?
He's in his late 60s and also busy with Harry Potter films.
Maggie Smith?
Old female busy with Harry Potter.
Oh, how come I can only think of Harry Potter actors?
Well, those movies have snatched up most of the working British actors in the world.
Oh, dang it.
Tell you what, I'm gonna call our British division, let them figure this one out for us.
We have a British division?
Yeah, it's where we steal all of our TV ideas from. Hey, we need a new gritty James Bond. Can you guys get back to me with an idea ASAP? Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. All right, we'll come back to this. The Americans want another actor for a new Bond film.
But I was just about to get to the part where all the characters are wearing period costume for no reason.
Will all their dialogue be thickly laced with sarcasm?
No, all of the characters are going to say directly what they mean.
Very sophisticated.
I was also thinking we could shoehorn a load of catchphrases into entire sections of the script.
Shoehorning catchphrases into scripts is tight. But isn't it going to be difficult to force them into entire sections?
Actually, it'll be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Can you explain how?
Oh no, I wasn't actually prepared to back that up with anything. Is it all right if we just kind of move on?
Well, whatever then. Little Britain got away with it. Seriously though, we need a new actor for Bond. And the movie's come out ever so slightly before the release date in America, so we'll need to act fast.
All right, well if we're short on time, then I'm thinking maybe a Daniel? Daniel Radcliffe? No, he's not very gritty and he'll be busy with the Harry Potter films. Daniel Day-Lewis? Possibly too gritty. What about Daniel Craig? Too blonde. Can't have a blonde Bond. It's weird, it rhymes, and I'm pretty sure it was outlawed by the Queen in the 70s. Alright. Liam Neeson? Far too blonde. Idris Elba? Too blonde. I don't think you know who Idris Elba is. I said too blonde. What if I were to suggest Daniel Craig for a second time? A second time? Yeah. What if I just literally suggested him again?
Well, that sounds great, thank you very much. So they're going with Daniel Craig?
Well, okay, and I have to say it was pretty uncomfortable just now how you and I were just standing here in complete silence waiting for him to call back.
It was a little weird, wasn't it?
Yeah, so who's Daniel Craig exactly?
Oh, he's done a lot of stuff like Road to Perdition and Layer Cake.
What's up with him having two first names though? I don't know about that.
That is pretty dang ridiculous. Pick a first name, you weirdo.
Anyway, so back to the movie.
Oh yeah, what's gonna happen in this thing?
Well, Bond is gonna be on a mission where he has to capture a guy alive, right?
Right.
And so he's gonna chase him using parkour.
Oh, that's popular on the internet.
Yeah, that's literally the only reason I wrote that in here.
Very smart.
Anyway, so at the end of the chase, Bond is gonna shoot the guy in the chest and blow up an embassy.
Oh my god, what?
Yeah, big boom.
What happened to capturing the guy alive?
Oh, yeah, I guess I got so excited about the parkour I forgot about that part.
Yeah, that's understandable.
Anyway, so then Bond is gonna track down a guy that sent a message to the guy he just killed.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're gonna have a little fight in public, and Bond is gonna stab him in the stomach with a little blade, and so obviously he dies instantly.
Of course, a little knife to the stomach is instant death.
And all of that's gonna lead to Bond going up against the big bad guy of this movie, this guy Le Chiffre.
Le Chiffre?
Yeah, it's French for the number, because this guy's really good with numbers.
Is he French?
No.
Oh.
Also, he has this crazy thing where sometimes he cries blood.
Is that gonna affect the plot in any way?
No.
Oh, eyeballs that bleed for no reason are tight.
Have you encountered those before?
Yes.
Oh, very mysterious. So anyway, Le Chiffre uses a warlord's money to buy some options on an airline company, and he plans on blowing up their new plane that they're unveiling and making a bunch more money.
Right.
But then Bond stops that plane from exploding, so Le Chiffre's in big trouble with that warlord.
Right, I imagine warlords don't like when you lose their money.
Yeah, so he sets up this high-stakes poker tournament in Montenegro to try to recoup some of that money.
And so Bond and MI6 find out about this?
Exactly, so they arrange to have Bond play in the tournament too.
Wait, why do that?
So he can get close to Le Chiffre and bring him to justice.
Why not just go capture him, though?
Well, if the bad guy loses the tournament, then he's gonna be desperate for protection.
So the warlord and his people would come attack him if he loses, but he already lost their money?
Yeah.
I don't see why he doesn't already need protection.
So anyway, during the tournament, the warlord comes to attack him.
So he does need protection.
Oh, yeah, I guess he does.
They should probably just bring this guy in right away.
Yeah, and also because Bond is using government funds, if he loses, they'll have directly funded terrorism.
This is a terrible plan.
Maybe, but at least this way the fans get to watch James Bond play cards for an extended period of time.
And people will like that?
I don't know.
Feels like we should spice that up a little bit.
Oh, well, I do have a thing where Bond's gonna get poisoned during the game.
Oh, yeah, see, that's exciting.
Yeah, and he stumbles out to his car because he has a magical resuscitation machine in there.
Wow.
And then he can't get it to work in time, so he dies.
What?
Oh, just for a minute. Then this woman Vesper that's with him comes to save him.
Why didn't he go directly to see her when he knew he was poisoned?
Unclear.
Huh, well, it's gonna be tough for him to get back into the card game after that.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's just immediately fine and carries on.
But he died.
Yeah, a little. No big deal.
It feels like a big deal.
Well, it's not, so absolutely get off my back about it.
Well, okay then.
Anyway, so eventually Bond wins the tournament, but then he gets captured.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and Le Chiffre has this weight on a rope, and he just swings it and hits Bond in the balls over and over and over again.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and then a dude comes in and shoots the bad guy in the face, and Bond wakes up in the hospital.
So he died and then recovered, but then he got hit in the balls, and that was too much?
That's right.
Huh.
Anyway, so then he wakes up, and he has a nice love scene with Vesper.
They're gonna have a love scene while he's in the hospital for having his balls crushed?
Yeah, super romantic stuff.
Okay.
And then he's gonna tell her that he loves her, because they spent like 3 days together.
Oh, that was quick.
Yeah, and then we're gonna spend about 30 minutes on them being in love and just having a great time.
Oh, that seems kind of excessive.
Well, we really want to sell the idea that maybe James Bond is gonna settle down with this woman, you know? Quit being a spy forever.
Even though nobody on Earth is gonna buy that?
Even though nobody on Earth is gonna buy that.
Well, okay then.
But then it turns out that Vesper was gonna steal the poker money because her boyfriend was kidnapped.
Oh, plot twist.
Yeah, so Bond chases her down and kills a bunch of bad guys, and then she drowns herself.
Why does she do that?
Because she can't be in the next movie. This is James Bond we're talking about.
Oh, well, that's very considerate of her to kill herself for the sake of the franchise.
It is, and so yeah, that's about it.
Well, it sounds like a fun new take on Bond. I'll get this Daniel Craig guy on the phone as soon as possible.
Oh, how do you think Pierce Brosnan's gonna take it?
I'm sure he'll take it well.
So, you have a new James Bond movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do.
Amazing. So, Casino Royale was a huge success, right? So there's a lot of pressure to follow it up strong.
Agreed.
So James Bond is chasing the guy, and they're shooting at each other.
Oh, just jumping right into it, okay.
And he's shooting, but James Bond shoots too, so he gets the guy, and then he gets away.
I'm not, okay, it's kind of hard to follow what's going on here.
And so James Bond opens the trunk of his car, and who's inside? Mr. White.
Oh, okay, I'm not sure who that is.
You know, he's the guy from the very end of the last movie. You know, James Bond caught up to him because he's kind of responsible for the death of Vesper.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure people will remember exactly what happened in the last one. It's been a couple of years and these things are usually kind of, you know, standalone.
Oh, well, let's hope they do or this will be very disorienting.
Fingers crossed.
So they're interrogating this guy and he reveals that he's part of this organization and they have people everywhere.
Oh, is it Spectre?
Do we have that rights issue figured out so we can legally use Spectre in a movie yet?
Not yet, no.
Okay, well then it's a completely different organization with the exact same concept.
Oh, okay.
So after this guy reveals that they have people everywhere, this guy that's been M's bodyguard for like 8 years pulls out a gun.
Oh, no. So he shoots Bond?
No, he shoots a random guy.
8 years undercover and he blows it on this moment just to shoot a random guy.
He does, yeah. And also he shoots M.
Oh, is she okay?
She's completely fine by the next scene, yeah.
Okay, bulletproof vest?
I guess so, yeah. We're not gonna explain it. So anyway, James Bond chases this guy down and he kills him.
Okay, so two big chases already. I'm still not sure where we're going story-wise.
Yeah, same here, but we'll get somewhere eventually. I'm almost sure of it.
All right, fun.
So then M reveals that they placed trackers on some cash and there's a stack of of it in Haiti in a hotel.
Oh, okay, yeah, that sounds like a great lead for whatever is going on.
Yeah, it is. So then Bond goes to this hotel, and you know that cool fight scene from The Bourne Identity?
Yeah, that's a great scene.
It's an amazing scene, so copy-paste.
Oh.
So yeah, now his one lead in Haiti is dead.
Oh man, it's gonna be tough for him to do anything story-wise without a lead. Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, see, he's just kinda walking down the street with this dead guy's suitcase, and a plot point drives up to him.
Oh, that worked out great. This guy's such a good spy.
He is, yeah. So this plot point's name is Camille, and she thinks he's this geologist she was supposed to meet up with.
Well, thank God she was planning on meeting somebody whose face she had never seen before.
Yeah, it worked out great. So they're in the car together, and he opens up this briefcase, and he finds out that the geologist was supposed to kill her.
Oh, the plot that appeared out of nowhere has already twisted.
It has. So then he gets out of the car because she tries to kill him, and then he follows her to these docks.
And what's going on there?
Oh, there are a bunch of shady types there and criminals and a guy sweeping the air.
Oh, air sweeping is tight.
And turns out this woman was going to see the bad guy of the movie.
Oh, and what's his deal?
Well, he wants to put this Bolivian dictator back in charge in exchange for a little portion of desert.
Oh, and what's his name? Is it something exciting like we usually have, like Le Chiffre or Dr. No?
Oh, you're gonna like this. His name is Dominic.
Oh.
Dominic Green. He's a short little guy. Short little guy from France. Name's Dominic Green.
Okay, does he have a big evil plan, though? Like, what's that desert thing about?
Oh, you know he has an evil plan.
Oh, boy.
This guy wants to gain control of a lot of the Bolivian fresh water supply, and then he's gonna overcharge for it.
Yeah, that's pretty evil, I guess.
Yeah, very, very unfair pricing.
It's just that James Bond villains are usually a little more over the top, you know, higher stakes.
People in Bolivia have to drink water, you know, so they have to buy it from him.
Of course, yeah.
And this guy Dominic, he's gonna, you know, government spending's gonna be all out of whack because of him.
Sure, sure.
Gonna be some real complicated budgeting that they're gonna have to do.
Yeah, no, yeah, I get that.
Because of Dominic's plan.
Okay.
Anyway, so Dominic finds out that Camille was just hooking up with him to get close to this Bolivian dictator guy because he killed her whole family.
Oh my god.
So Dominic gives her to this dictator guy and Bond has to go save her.
Because James Bond is watching all this?
Yeah, this is the story now because Bond kind of stumbled into it.
Sure.
So he goes on this crazy boat chase to save her and then he does and then he just kind of hands her unconscious body off to some guy.
Doesn't he want information from her or something?
I guess not.
Huh, okay.
So then James Bond goes to the opera.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, but it's for work. I'm sure he enjoys it, but he's mostly working.
Oh, yeah, okay, right.
It turns out Dominic is secretly meeting people there, and they're all kind of talking with these secret headsets.
Very sneaky.
Yeah, so then Bond gets pictures of their faces by taking pictures of the backs of their heads.
That doesn't make any sense, spy technology.
Still, though, that's not how things work. And then there's this little chase scene, and this other agent guy ends up dead, so M needs Bond to come in for questioning.
Oh, she does?
She does. So she sends one single attractive redhead to bring him in.
Has M not met James Bond?
So then Bond sleeps with the attractive woman.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, obviously he does.
So obviously M is disappointed that this didn't work out.
What did she think was gonna happen?
Unclear. So then later Bond and Camille are in this plane, but they get shot down.
Oh no.
But luckily they manage to jump out of the plane and open their parachutes just a few feet from the ground.
Oh, that would definitely still kill them.
Yeah, but it's not gonna.
Why?
Because.
That works.
So then they discover that Dominic used dynamite to dam these fresh water supplies and monopolize them. And nobody in the country checked to see where the water had been diverted to.
Apparently not.
So then later the bad guys meet at this desert hotel, right?
Right.
And one bad guy explains to the other that this whole place is powered by these super explosive hydrogen fuel cells.
Oh, I wonder if that's gonna come into play later.
It will.
It will. Oh, well, thank God the bad guys had an awkward conversation about it.
Yeah.
So what happens next?
Well, Bond and Camille have to sneak into this hotel.
Oh, so they gotta take down the security outside?
Oh, there's no security outside, so they just go right in.
Well, fantastic.
And so then they both get into these very personal fight scenes, you know? She fights against the guy that killed her entire family.
Wow, yeah.
And James Bond, oh boy, he's gonna fight against this tiny Frenchman he just found out about a couple days earlier.
Okay, I kind of feel like James Bond fighting a tiny Frenchman he barely knows isn't the intense moment you're making it out to be.
Well, the tiny Frenchman makes shrieking noises when he attacks. Does that help?
That helps a lot, actually.
Anyway, so then the fuel cell
cells explode.
You mentioned those.
And then Dominic's gonna try to escape through the desert, but Bond is gonna catch up to him and interrogate him about Quantum, which is the organization.
Oh man, how does that interrogation go?
Oh, we're not gonna show that.
Oh, we're not?
You know, we're just gonna kinda cut forward and Dominic's gonna be like, I told you everything you wanted to know about Quantum, and Bond's gonna be like, yes, you did.
Kinda wish we'd get to see it.
Yeah, but we're not gonna.
Why?
Well, cause I don't know what's gonna happen in the sequel yet.
Oh, very smart.
So then using this mystery information, Bond tracks down this guy who was also kind of responsible for the death of his love interest in the last movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was super depressed about her death this whole movie. Very sad, very gloomy. So none of that, you know, charming, fun James Bond people know.
I guess that'll be fun to watch. And so, yeah, that's about it. What do you think?
Well, I mean, it sounds a little clunky and low stakes, to be honest, but we can have writers work on it throughout the process, you know, really elevate it.
Oh, 100%. I don't see why not. So, you have a James Bond movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. So James Bond is on a secret spy mission, right?
Oh, yeah, he's always doing that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, he does that a ton.
So much.
So many times he's done that.
Definitely.
So he needs to catch this assassin bad guy, right? And he stole a list of all the undercover agents that MI6 has around the world.
Oh, they just keep all those names on a single list, then?
Yeah, they just keep that all on one big list, where if you get one laptop, you get the whole thing.
Well, interesting to learn about the spy world best practices, you know.
And so James Bond ends up getting shot a couple of times by this bad guy on this train, and this other agent has to take this super difficult shot in order to kill the bad guy.
Oh my god.
So she takes the shot, but she hits Bond, and he falls off this massive bridge from a height where the fall alone would kill him.
What?
Then his unconscious body shoots down a waterfall. He's just sinking and bleeding from multiple bullet wounds.
What is going on?
So, you know, there's like no way he could have survived that, right?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. But then again, I mean, you wouldn't kill James Bond off in the very first scene, so... You know, I'm super invested to see how he survived that.
Yeah, for sure. So anyway, later James Bond is kind of just hanging out, chilling, you know, kind of retired.
Wait. How did he get out of the situation where he was unconscious and bleeding and underwater?
Ah, well, we're gonna have this amazing opening title sequence, right? With music from Adele.
Right, so...
He figured something out while that was happening, I imagine.
But how?
Listen, sir, there is an Adele music video taking up the screen for several minutes, so we can't know what's going on behind there, you know?
Wow, well, okay, all right.
So anyway, after about a year of just hanging out, MI6 blows up and Bond hears about it, and also that somebody's mad at M.
Uh-oh, she's from the other movies.
So he goes back to London like, hey, what's up? I'm back. Don't worry about how.
And so what does he do to help?
Well, he pulls some bullet fragments out of his body from where the bad guy shot him, and he has MI6 analyze them.
Okay.
And it turns out this is a super special kind of bullet that's only used by like 3 people around the world.
Oh, wow. Well, thank God the professional assassin used bullets that can be specifically traced back to him.
Yeah, maybe that's something a professional assassin would do. So Bond gets to this guy and he kills him.
Oh man, so he doesn't have a lead anymore?
Well, actually, this guy had a super secret assassin poker chip on him, so that leads Bond to a casino.
Jeez, that guy loved leaving breadcrumbs.
Sure seems that way. So Bond goes to this casino along with that other agent, and during the mission, he kind of plops his earpiece into her drink.
Well, why would he do that in the middle of a mission? Cut off communication.
Because how cool is that?
It's pretty cool.
Anyway, so then Bond meets this woman who's like a prisoner, kind of, and she leads him to the bad guy of the movie, this guy named Silva.
And how does that go?
Well, see, Silva forces Bond at gunpoint to shoot a glass off of this lady's head.
Oh.
But he misses, so Silva shoots her right in the face.
Oh my god, well there was nothing Bond could have done, you know, he had a gun pointed at him.
That's right, exactly. So then Bond fights his way out of the situation and a bunch of helicopters show up.
He couldn't have done that like a couple seconds earlier so that woman wasn't shot in the face?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
So they put Silva in a glass cage, which is what you do when you catch a villain halfway through the movie.
That does seem to be standard procedure.
Yeah, and just like any villain captured halfway through the movie, he wanted to be captured. It was part of his plan.
Oh, he did? So what's his plan?
Well, see, Q plugs Silva's computer into the MI6 computer mainframe, which hacks it and sets Silva free.
The tech expert just connects a bad guy's computer into the secret spy computer network?
He does, yeah. So that opens chopping Silva's cage up, and he takes out two guards and escapes through the tunnels.
Okay.
So Bond starts chasing Silva, but this guy has this whole thing planned out to a T. He has some of his men hand him a cop disguise in the subway.
How?
And after this super long chase, Bond catches up to Silva and starts shooting at him, but Silva's like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Well, why would he stop?
Oh, I just told you. Silva said, whoa, 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 whoa.
I guess that's convincing.
So then it turns out Silva had planned this whole thing too, and a big train crashes right through the tunnel right at that moment.
What?
And then M is at this hearing thing, which was also part of Silva's plan, so he bursts in with a gun and he misses. He doesn't manage to hit her.
Okay, what's wrong? What's up?
I mean, that just sounds like a super convoluted plan based on things he couldn't possibly know or time.
Don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I mean, what if Q hadn't plugged in the laptop? Or what if he plugged it in like 45 minutes later?
Well, yeah.
If Q had to go to the bathroom, the plan wouldn't have worked.
Yeah, but no, it was all planned.
He knew that Q had already pooped that day or was going to poop later?
Yeah.
And if at the end the plan was to just burst into M's hearing, why not just do that part? Like, why do all the other stuff? Why get captured?
Well, see, he wanted to know where M's hearing was.
That's public information, though, I think.
Listen, sir, the thing is, it's gonna be a very cool sequence, so I'm gonna need you to get all the way off my back about it.
Oh, I didn't realize it was gonna be cool. Okay, let me get off of that thing.
Okay, thanks. So now Bond has to bring M to safety, and he has to assume that all the MI6 channels are compromised.
So what does he do?
Well, he brings her to his childhood home in Scotland and has Q lure Silva there.
So do Bond and M go with a bunch of people kind of off-grid with a bunch of guns too?
Nah, it's just the two of them, and Bond says there are some old hunting rifles there they can use.
So his plan to protect M is to bring just the two of them to an old, old house in Scotland and use a couple of hunting rifles and lure a supervillain over to them.
That's what we're going with.
Also, turns out all the rifles were sold except for one.
Wow, so what do they do?
Well, sir, have you seen Home Alone?
Yeah, so...
That. They do Home Alone?
They do Home Alone, sir.
They set up a bunch of traps that are just as deadly as the ones Kevin McAllister set up.
Oh, Kevin McAllister murder machines are tight.
So then Silva sends a bunch of men into the house and the Home Alone traps work on them.
Wow, wow, wow. Wow.
And then Silva shows up in a helicopter and shoots the whole place up from the sky.
Feels like he could have led with that.
Maybe.
So then M is gonna get shot, so her and the groundskeeper escape through a secret tunnel that leads them out into a super dark field.
Oh, nice. Very sneaky. Gonna be hard for Silva to find them now.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, cause see, they're walking through the dark field with a flashlight, so Silva's like, oh, that's, there they are, okay.
Oh.
So then Bond manages to kill Silva, but M dies too.
Very sad.
And so that's about it. What do you think?
Oh, it sounds like a pretty good time, you know?
But people didn't really like the last movie, Quantum of Solace, and it didn't make a ton of money.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of like, you know, are people really gonna come see another Daniel Craig James Bond movie?
Well, maybe we could try spending like $100 million on marketing.
Oh yeah, that might work.
Let's try that.
So, you have a James Bond movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. And this one's gonna be all about James Bond.
That's actually perfect. So what happens in this thing?
Well, we're gonna start with James Bond going rogue in Mexico City.
Oh, spies going rogue. That's extremely hot in movies right now.
Yeah, some might even say it's overdone.
Well, wait, that doesn't sound positive.
Oh, well then ignore I said it.
Oh, okay, done.
So James Bond kills some bad guys and destroys a bunch of property and then gets in trouble for it.
Wow, 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 wow.
Yeah, and Q injects some nanotech things into his blood, because now he needs to be tracked at all times.
Oh man, it's gonna be hard for him to go about his rogue spy business with smart blood.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, see, he manages to convince Q to give him 48 hours without tracking him.
How does he manage that?
By asking him.
Well, very easy to convince.
Yeah, well, you know, they have a lot of history. There's kind of a connection there. So then Bond steals a $3 million car that Q was working on.
Oh, James Bond's a jerk to his friends.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what does he need the car for anyway?
Well, Bond reveals that the reason he went rogue in Mexico is because when M died, she sent him a video telling him to kill a guy and then go to his funeral.
Why couldn't she have told him that while she was still alive?
Well, because the character didn't know I was going to write this script when she was alive.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So James drives to this funeral in Italy and then immediately hits on the widow.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and it turns out she's being hunted by assassins. They're like slowly following her through her house with guns.
Uh-oh.
But then Bond shoots them both and saves her.
Why didn't the assassins just shoot her on sight? What were they waiting for?
I don't
don't know.
Fair enough.
So then Bond sleeps with the widow and she gives him all the information he needs.
Why does she do that?
Because he's the protagonist and she's a plot point.
That works.
So she tells him about this evil meeting taking place and he gets into it using a ring he took from the dead guy.
They just let him in because he has a special ring?
That's right.
And he doesn't find that suspicious in any way?
He doesn't, no.
Well, okay then.
So in this big evil meeting, they're trying to find a replacement for the guy that Bond killed.
And so this one big guy, Hinks, pokes another guy's eyes out with thumb knives, so he gets chosen for the job. Why does that qualify him?
Because?
That makes sense to me now.
And then this big bad guy that's running the meeting reveals that he knows that James Bond is in the room.
Uh-oh.
So then James Bond runs away and escapes.
So they knew he was there the whole time and they didn't have multiple people guarding the door or waiting for him at his car?
That's what we're going with.
If you say so.
So then James goes to the next plot point.
Oh, does he sleep with this one?
Well, this one's an old man.
So is that a no?
That's a no. And it turns out this guy is Mr. White.
I don't know. Is that a Breaking Bad thing?
No. It's a guy from Quantum of Solace, remember?
Yeah, no. Like most people, I kind of wiped that one from my memory.
Oh, dang it. Well, I hope some people are going to remember this guy.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay, well, anyway, this plot point was poison, so he gives Bond some information and then kills himself.
Oh, my God.
But he makes James promise to take care of his hot daughter, Madeline, because she might be in danger.
Oh, I bet he's going to take care of her.
Yeah, he's going to take care of her.
Oh, I bet he is.
He is, yeah.
Oh, being oblivious to innuendo is tight.
I guess. So anyway, James goes to help the hot daughter, but then Hinks manages to figure out where he's headed.
How did he do that?
Well, James forgot that there was a giant security camera in his face when Mr. White shot himself, so Hinks just looks at those tapes.
Whoops.
Whoopsie. So then Madeline gets kidnapped because James led the bad guys right to her.
Oh, he immediately messed up that promise.
Yeah, he's not too great at his job, and so then he basically rides a damaged airplane down a mountain, and coincidentally, it crashes into the cars that the bad guys are driving.
Very lucky.
Incredibly lucky. So eventually, he and Madeline figure out where the bad guy's base is, so they head towards there on a train.
Why is he taking her to the enemy base? Isn't he supposed to be protecting her?
Yeah, but she was like, I'm coming with you, and he's like, no, you're not. Actually, okay, yeah, sure.
Well, it is a convincing argument.
So now they're on a train, and James has an amazing white tuxedo, and Madeline has a beautiful dress on.
Well, where did they get those clothes? Did they go shopping off screen?
Yeah, whenever there's a little time jump, you can assume that they're shopping, because they're always in new outfits.
Oh, little off-screen shopping spree.
So anyway, then Hinks shows up on the train behind Bond.
So he uses the element of surprise to shoot him in the back of the head?
Nope, he starts by kicking the table.
Oh, just as good of a decision.
So they have a fight for a little bit, and then Hinks goes flying off the train and dies.
So what effect did this Hinks guy have on the plot?
Two chases and a fight.
Oh, pretty good.
So eventually they end up at this lair, and the bad guy from the meeting reveals that he was behind all the bad guys in the three previous movies. It's all connected.
How does that make sense?
Oh, I'm gonna need you to get all the way off my back about how this makes sense.
That was just one question.
My back is where you are, and I'd love for you to disembark at your earliest convenience.
Oh, okay, let me get off of that thing.
We're also gonna find out that the bad guy's real name is Blofeld.
Oh, okay.
The classic villain, remember?
Yeah.
This is supposed to be a big reveal.
Oh, well, I don't feel anything.
Oh, dang it. Anyway, Madeline then tells James that she loves him.
Haven't they known each other for like 2 days?
That's right.
Very romantic.
Then Blofeld tortures James in a chair that has drills on it.
What do the drills do?
Well, the drills are gonna mess up his balance, he's not gonna be able to remember people, just a whole bunch of stuff.
Wow, so how does James avoid the drills?
He doesn't.
The bad guy drills into his skull?
He does, yeah, it looks extremely painful.
So how does Bond keep going through the movie with all those horrible side effects?
Well, the effects don't work.
Well, why not?
Well, because that would mess up the rest of the movie. You can't have James Bond running around off balance, not knowing who anyone is.
Well, then why did you introduce the drills?
I thought it'd be cool.
But they don't do the thing you said they do.
That's right.
Well, okay then.
Oh, also, Blofeld and Bond are kind of brothers.
What?
Yeah, they were raised together.
Okay, yeah, sure, whatever.
So anyway, then thanks to an explosive watch, James and Madeline managed to escape.
Wow.
Yeah, and they blow up the entire base by shooting a single pipe, and then they run away.
Classic bad guy base move.
But it turns out Blofeld isn't dead.
Oh, so what does he do next?
Well, he kidnaps Madeline again.
Oh, he loves doing that.
Yeah, and he sets up this big arts and crafts thing for James. He has pictures of him printed and stuff.
Weird way to spend his time, but okay.
And then there's a bomb, so James has to decide between saving himself and saving Madeline.
Sounds like it's gonna be hard to choose.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he just goes with both.
How?
Well, Blofeld gave him 3 minutes, and that's enough time to find Madeline in this building and then jump off the top of it into a convenient net.
Oh, well, thank God there was a big, big net.
Oh, and also this whole entire time, there was like a surveillance thing going on at MI6, so that gets solved too.
Is that gonna have any effect on anything?
Not really, no.
So how does the movie end?
Well, Bond ends up with his kind of brother on a bridge, and he doesn't kill him.
Oh, how come?
I don't know, character growth, I guess. Mostly because what if sequel?
Yeah, that
but smart.
And so, yeah, that's pretty much it. What do you think?
Well, it sounds like James Bond running around for a while and doing some things.
Yeah, sure, that's a good way to describe it.
And anyway, people really liked Skyfall, so as long as we don't mess this up like we did Quantum of Solace, I think we're in good shape.
So, you have a new James Bond movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. It's called No Time to Die.
Death is tough to schedule, so what happens in this one?
So Bond is with that Madeline Swan girl, right? But he's still kinda heartbroken over Vesper from Casino Royale.
That 23-year-old he knew for a couple of weeks in 2006?
That's the one.
So he goes to visit her grave, and it explodes.
Well, graves do that.
Actually, sir, I looked it up, and turns out they rarely do.
Oh, good to know. So is Bond okay?
Well, I mean, a massive explosion just happened a couple of feet in front of him. So of course he's okay.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I mean, it's the beginning of the movie. Did you think he was gonna get killed?
Well, no, not really. I mean, the beginning of the movie is No Time to Die. Oh!
Anyway, so then he's being chased by these Spectre people, and he ends up on this bridge, and bad guys are closing in.
Oh boy, gonna be hard to get out of that situation.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, cause see, this bridge just happens to have tiny walls to hide behind, and some wires that double as perfect Tarzan ropes, and also this is a movie where no bad guys know how to aim.
Oh, a very helpfully designed bridge.
Oh, and also, Bond is being chased by this very scary henchman.
And what's his deal?
Well, he's got a real eye and a fake eye, and he looks like De Niro in Rocky and Bullwinkle.
What?
So then Bond hears that maybe Madeline set this whole thing up, so he puts her on a train and breaks up with her.
Oh, wow.
And so then we jump forward multiple years, and Bond is living the retired life in Jamaica.
Is he gonna come out of retirement for one last job?
He's gonna come out of retirement for one last job.
Oh, coming out of retirement for one last job is tight.
Yeah, so he gets approached by the CIA to help find this Russian scientist guy who helped develop a bioweapon involving nanobots.
Nanobots?
Yeah, see, nanobots are these things where if you write nanobots in a script, they can do whatever you want and you don't really have to explain it.
Oh, interesting.
And so these ones can kill specific people based on their DNA while being harmless to others.
Neat.
So then Bond meets this woman, Nomi, who's the new 007 now that he's retired.
Oh, there's a new 007. Yeah, because see, that'll make some people very angry on social media,
which is fantastic free publicity for the movie.
Smart, that's gonna piss some people off.
So then Bond goes to Cuba and teams up with this lady Paloma to infiltrate a Spectre party, which is actually a birthday party for Blofeld.
Doesn't everybody in Spectre know who Bond is? How can he infiltrate a Spectre event?
Yeah, he's like their biggest enemy, but he gets right in.
That doesn't raise any red flags.
It doesn't, no. And turns out this was a plot to kill him.
Yeah, that makes sense.
See, turns out Blofeld was still running Spectre from inside his MI6 holding cell using a bionic eyeball.
What?
Yeah, he had a computer eyeball that was never detected and let him transmit and receive information from around the world and didn't need charging or anything like that.
How did he get a bionic eye while in custody, and how did no one detect that he had it or that it was transmitting and receiving communications?
Those are all very good questions, sir, and I'm glad you asked. Anyway, so then they try to kill Bond with like this nanobot mist, but it turns out that Russian scientist guy reprogrammed it so it kills all the Spectre people instead.
Oh, wow, wow, wow. Wow.
So yeah, now Spectre's been wiped out.
Wait, every single member of Spectre from around the world was at that one party in Cuba?
That's what we're going with, sir, because this is Daniel Craig's last movie, so we gotta wrap things up, you know?
That makes sense. So who's the scientist guy working for anyway?
It turns out scientist guy is working for the real bad guy of the movie, this guy Safin.
Oh, and what's his deal?
Well, his whole family was killed by Mr. White, Madeline's father, who, as you know, worked for Spectre.
I definitely remember the specifics of the previous four movies, sure.
So as revenge, Safin killed Madeline's mother when Madeline was just a kid.
Very rude.
And so now that Madeline is all grown up, they're the same age.
What?
And so Safin killed all those Spectre people as revenge for them having killed his family.
All right, yeah, that motivation makes a lot of sense, but so... So he did it. He did what he wanted to do.
Ah, see, no, because maybe he loves Madeline because he saved her life when she was a kid.
Oh.
But maybe not.
Okay.
But maybe he wants a family, but maybe not.
Hey.
But one thing's for sure, he definitely wants to commit genocide.
Oh my god, what? Why?
Ah, well, check this out. He's evil.
Jeez, yeah, sounds that way.
So then Bond goes to see Blofeld, who's being held in a comically slow-moving cage, and also Madeline is there.
Oh, and Bond hasn't seen her in years.
That's right, and so then Blofeld ends up dying just because Bond touched
touched him.
Oh.
It turns out that Bond had those nanobots on him, and that killed Blofeld pretty much immediately and off screen.
Just like that, Blofeld is dead.
Gotta wrap it up.
Right, right.
So then Madeline introduces Bond to a 5-year-old girl who's definitely his daughter, and she's like, yeah, this is not your daughter.
Very convincing.
And then Safin kidnaps Madeline and his non-daughter daughter.
Right, and why?
Because of one of his vague motivations.
Right, that makes sense.
So now Bond and Nomi need to go on this mission to Safin's secret island base.
Oh boy.
And Nomi, she decides to give the 007 number back to Bond.
Oh yeah, switch code names right before the big mission. That's a fun idea.
Yeah, that might not be a confusing thing to do.
So why does she give it back to him?
Ah, well see, the movie's almost over.
Gotcha.
So they head to this island and there are like pools of acid and poison gardens.
For the nanobots?
Yes.
Okay.
And Nomi's gonna grab that scientist guy and he says some pretty racist stuff, so she pushes him into some acid.
Wow, well hope they didn't need him for anything.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I'm sure they wouldn't need the guy that created the bioweapon for anything. So before she kills him, she's like, you know what time it is? Time to die.
That's the opposite of the name of the movie.
It sure is, sir. And then Bond is gonna kill Robert De Niro from Rocky and Bullwinkle by exploding his bionic eye with an EMP watch.
Nice.
And so eventually Bond and Safin get into a conversation and Safin is like, you know, we're not so different, you and I.
Oh man, villains love telling heroes how they're not so different from each other.
Oh yeah, they can't get enough of saying that. So then they shoot each other and Safin poisons Bond.
With nanobots?
With nanobots. And these ones are specifically designed to kill Madeline and his non-daughter daughter if he touches them.
Oh no, man. Well, I guess he could try using that EMP watch to disable them.
No, he can't do that.
Why not?
Well, because nanobots.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and also, Safin was intending on launching this bioweapon and killing millions of people, so the good guy's gotta blow up this island.
Oh no.
So Bond talks to Madeline, who's safe now, and she's like, oh yeah, by the way, I've decided to stop lying, and this is your daughter.
Oh, so Bond does have a daughter.
He does.
That's very interesting.
Right? It adds like a whole new dynamic to the character.
Oh, well, actually, I meant it's interesting because, you know, his balls were absolutely destroyed in Casino Royale.
Oh, yeah, well, they still work.
Yeah, sounds that way.
So anyway, then Bond dies.
What?
Well, he has to, like, open some doors so the missiles can get in and blow up the island, and then he just kind of stands there and accepts his fate.
He doesn't even try to get off the island?
Well, no, because, see, because of the nanobots, he wouldn't even be able to touch Madeline or his daughter, so... You know, what's the point?
Because if he gets off the island, he can see them through glass.
Not good enough. So he stands there like, all right, bye.
Oh, I don't know how to feel.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a weird feeling to see James Bond get, you know, absolutely obliterated. But then in the end credits, we'll be like, James Bond will return.
As a zombie?
No, as a reboot, I imagine. I don't know.
Oh, God, who are we going to get to play him? What style are we going to go with?
Well, that, sir, is a problem for future us to figure out.
Okay, I mean, sometimes when we leave things for future us to figure out, future us drops the ball.
Yeah, well, technically that's now past us, so...
That's a good point. All right, good luck, future us.
Hey everybody, Ryan here, that's me, thanks for watching the video. And if you liked it, feel free to click the like button and the subscribe button and all, you know, buttons of that nature. You can also leave a comment down below letting me know what other movies you want to see pitches for. There are also like hundreds of other episodes on the channel that you can check out if you want. As always, check back soon for a new one. Bye.